So this is a mini emergency episode of Monuments, Museums and Mojitos podcast.
If you're joining us for the first time, my name's Nikki.
My name's Pauli.
And my name's Izan.
And for the first time in 6 months, art is headlining newspapers, social media, everything. And we couldn't also miss the opportunity to jump on the bandwagon and share our opinion on the trending events.
What is worth more, art or life? Are you more concerned about the protection of a painting or the protection of our planet?
If you haven't caught what that is referring to, we are coming to you with an emergency podcast where last Friday, 2 tin cans of soup, tomato soup, were thrown at one of Van Gogh's most famous sunflower paintings at London's National Gallery.
Yeah, lots of stuff has happened during the last 6 months in the political spectrum, and they're kind of related to this act. Particularly, UK have moved from a right-wing government to a very right-wing government. And they've opened licensing for gas and oil projects, right, Isan?
Yeah, fracking has been announced by the government again, which is very controversial, and there is a lot of opposition to that. The previous government under Boris Johnson was not particularly popular, but his wife, Carrie, I believe her name is a very staunch environmentalist. So they did have some quite strict environmental policies in place. And so when he was ousted from government and Liz Truss took over, she has no such qualms about destroying the environment for profit. And yeah, she has basically retracted any kind of environmental measures that were to protect the planet, to stop any oil production, to stop fracking. She's all guns blazing on all fronts. So I think that's probably encouraged this latest demonstration.
So within this context of what seems to be an unstable and awful economic situation for the United Kingdom, along with a lot of other countries in Europe, this stance comes at a time where the climate emergency has never been as severe as it is now.
Yes, just by the way, for a context, so 13th of October, one day before the act, WWF and the Zoological London Society published a report stating that animal populations have declined on average of almost 70% for the last 50 years.
Wow.
This is just one day before the act, which I think also provides a very good context.
The pot is just being stirred and stirred and stirred with the severity of the environmental crisis the world is facing. And it's trickling down to the economics of people as well.
And we have a number of factors in with that. Obviously, there is the climate change crisis that we've seen, floods and droughts and fires and all sorts over the last couple of years getting worse, and the years getting hotter and hotter on average every year. But also the way that is now impacting people's pockets, the war with Ukraine that affecting oil prices, also the cost of living in general, food shortages. Brexit has not helped any of these situations. So in the UK, I think obviously across the world and across Europe, there are these issues, but Brexit on top of all of those has definitely put the UK in a kind of unique situation of both economic and environmental catastrophe. So yeah, you can see why organizations like this are really trying to be heard and trying to get out to the public.
So basically, two teenage girls decided to go to the National Gallery and throw a can of tomato soup on the painting of Van Gogh. The can of tomato soup was symbolizing the food shortages in the UK, right?
Yeah, and the fuel prices. I think they said in their speech afterwards that family will soon not be able to even afford to heat up a can of soup. So that's kind of why they used that specific food item. But the organization in general, Just Stop Oil, they actually just launched this year in February, but they have staged a number of these types of either disruptive kind of stagings across the UK at different events. So this isn't the first arts event that they have staged, and not even the first at the National Gallery, but it is the most controversial, I would say, because it directly attacked a piece of artwork in the way that previously they've glued themselves to pieces of artwork or shown art in different ways and spray painted on the walls around the art, but they've never actually done anything to attack the art itself before.
And I think that's why we wanted to jump onto this, because not only is it attention grabbing in that it is providing a source of activism for a very pressing issue, but it's targeting directly our line of work and what we have studied. The art gallery here is what has been used as a target for this activism.
Yep. And it's a significant art gallery. It's a free gallery to enter. It's a public gallery. It's a public institution.
Yeah, probably the biggest, most famous in the UK, with the, you know, works of art from internationally renowned artists from throughout art history. So yeah, it's probably the most prominent art gallery that you could think to target in England, at least.
So let's wind it back a step and look at the people and organization who targeted this gallery.
Okay, so basically Just Stop Oil, yeah, as Izan said, it's a new organization. However, it was funded by the Climate Emergency Fund, which is a fund which was established by Eileen Getty, who is the heiress of the Getty Foundation, of Getty Oil, sorry. She inherited a lot of money, and after the company was sold in the early 2000s, she's now investing her inheritance into climate activism organizations. I think that she gave $500,000 to Just Stop Oil. So there were some conspiracy theories that, oh, look, they're connected to oil funding. However, we don't have proof, any sort of proof, that Eileen Getty is investing money in oil projects or that she's somehow connected to oil projects. What we know is that she inherited a lot of money and they're not anymore involved because they've sold the company. And she's just, I don't know, out of guilt. What do you think, guys? She's just...
The conspiracy theories that you mentioned, or just theories, are that because of this linkage and because of the oil companies being behind it, they are trying to make leftist radicals, environmentalists, look like manic people that therefore should not be taken seriously and kind of downplay their activism. This is the conspiracy or theories that have been surrounding the issue with the linkage with Eileen Getty and her inheritance.
Yeah, and there was also another argument that when you go to the link for donations, they are open to donations in cryptocurrencies. And we all know that the carbon footprint of cryptocurrencies is enormous. However, we also have seen defense that they are using Ethereum, which is the most sustainable cryptocurrency of all. But okay, it's a bit controversial that they are open to cryptocurrency funding. Nonetheless, yeah. How did people react to this? To this case in social media? I have the feeling that majority of the people that I have on my social media bubble were, a lot of them were unfortunately against it. They were outraged. How can they vandalize such painting? These teenage girls, they don't know what they're doing. This is not an intelligent way to show activism. I don't know. What do you think, guys? Let's take the side that is against this act. Like,
I mean, personally, I'm not sure that a Van Gogh painting is necessarily the correct kind of target. If they're targeting paintings that show natural beauty, to say that they, you know, the natural beauty will be destroyed, the sunflowers will no longer be there. But then I also saw that they glued themselves to a Da Vinci painting and spray painted the wall underneath the Da Vinci. It was a Last Supper painting. And so that has nothing to do with natural beauty. You know, that's just, I assume, for headlines, because it's such a famous painter and such a famous painting. And so I feel like maybe they need to sort out their message a little bit more in terms of that. Like, are they talking about the natural beauty of these paintings, or are they just grabbing headlines for the most famous paintings in the world? But I don't know. I just feel like for a man who struggled with his mental health throughout his life and died penniless, is he necessarily the correct person whose paintings to target? Or should they have gone for someone, a multimillionaire, like, you know, one of the YBAs, like, say, Damien Hirst, or even the Saatchi Gallery, because Saatchi made his millions through advertising and is a big backer of the Tory party, historically, him and his brother. I think his brother got a lordship through the Tory party for their campaigns for Margaret Thatcher. So, you know, maybe there would be better targets out there if they're not just thinking about what's famous.
I agree with that. And that was the stance I was taking initially. But then I actually put myself in the shoes of these two young women. I think they are teenagers. I don't know their ages exactly. But as a fellow fierce young environmental activist that I was when I was younger, I was environmental captain at school. I campaigned for a lot of changes, fundraised, all that. Would I have known who the greater context was behind the painting that I wanted to throw a can of soup at, for example, in my stance of activism? Probably not. So as much as I would like them to have maybe a greater understanding of the context in which they're targeting, we have to keep in mind their age and what is driving them.
I think we are now entering into our arts humanities degree where we are over-analyzing, overthinking, you know, how would this fit the author's character? Would this fit Van Gogh's character, you know? Well, also, like, kind of, Van Gogh was quite punk, wasn't he? Like, I think he was probably gonna like what they've done. And I don't think the painting here is the problem, or that the gallery way it was done is the problem. Obviously, if it was done in such, it was probably gonna fit more. Maybe there are some logistical reasons why they chose a National Gallery. I guess it's easier to enter, exactly. Probably. However, I'm just baffled, and they showed really well how fucked up is our society, that we get so outraged about an act that hasn't even damaged the painting.
Yeah, to be fair, there was glass over the painting, so it didn't actually, the soup didn't actually touch the canvas itself. It just touched the glass and the frame. So the frame got a little bit of soup on it, but like, that's okay.
And this is now for 2 days, it's headlining newspapers. It was headlining New York Times. When would a climate activist case would be headlining New York Times? I don't think this has happened before. So this is headlining everything, everybody sharing their opinion. I think majority of the people were sharing negative opinions about that. And in the same time, we have decades upon decades, people closing their eyes about the destruction of our planet. We have a report published how we are devastating our ecosystems. And we care more about the fucking painting and not about the planet that we're destroying. And we're caring about a painting that's even destroyed. You know how absurd is that? Like, And they've really exposed how sick and greedy is our society, I feel.
They have done that.
How lazy and thoughtless. Because it's you need to put yourself a bit into the context, you know.
And they've created that conversation, definitely.
But and it's baffling. We have report after report after report from scientists, universities, proving this is decade after decade that we are not going well. We have too much carbon emissions. We have to move away from fossil fuels. We are destroying our ecosystems. This is happening every fucking month. We are getting proof after proof after proof, and people don't care. And now this thing happens, and people are fucking outraged about a painting that is not even damaged. It kind of shows us that we value a single painting more than our planet, you know, which is absurd. And if we don't have a planet, we won't have art, and we'll have paintings in the end.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we don't want these paintings to be the only thing that's left of green hills and trees and plants and flowers. We don't want the rest of it to have died out, and all that we've got left is the paintings of them. I think that's probably the message that they were going for at the end of the day.
You know, probably in some decades, we won't have the possibility to paint sunflowers because of floods and fires and all the rest of the things that are associated with climate change. So I don't know, guys, but I'm giving them 12 out of 10 for this like, they do their job. Bravo to the girls, and imagine how brave they are also to do that, you know. Watching at the video, you could see how nervous they were.
Imagine being that young and doing something like that,
and knowing that you're gonna be, you know, all over the media, have everyone call you every name under the sun, but doing it because it's what you believe in. Like, fair play to them. At first, I was a bit like, I can't believe they did that. But actually, the more I've been thinking about it and looking into it, I'm like, no, they're doing the right thing. They are.
Yeah.
It just, I would have liked them to pick more of a dick artist, maybe like Picasso or Dali, but I'll take an okay for that. Yeah.
we'll send them an educational email. Next time, can you pick one of these 7 artists who are all big dicks?
I think we've had to maybe remove our favorable lens towards galleries, museums, monuments, and culture in general, and put ourselves in the shoes of a generation that is going and is inheriting a world that is on the brink of collapse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go girls.
So we'll be coming back very soon for season 3 of the podcast.
Remember, as always, to check out our social media platforms. And please, in this case, do let us know what you think of this particular incident. You can find us at Museums Mojitos on Instagram and Twitter, and at the podcast's full name on Facebook.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.